Hello, everyone, and welcome, probably once again, or maybe it's your first time, but hello. This is Lizzie and Justin, and we are turning towards life. Again, as we do every week, Justin, on a Sunday, and people listen at different times, I know, so maybe this is your Monday morning dog walk. If it is, you're very welcome here. Maybe you are finding your way to sleep. Someone told me this week, Justin, they had our voices in their ears as they were going to sleep. Maybe you are in the car listening, maybe you're on a walk, maybe you're cleaning the kitchen, whatever you're doing, listening to us. We're so glad that you're here. And I would like you to just take a minute and feel how welcome you are here, because it's such a joy that you are here to me and to Justin. We're so grateful. And each time we hear from you and you tell us something about what it's like and we have a little email exchange, it's like pure joy to us. So thank you for everybody who's emailed us, who's told us what it's like to listen. We love that. And our email address is hello@turningtowards.life. And you can find us on email if you would like to. We'd love to hear from you. Justin, you have chosen another source for us this week from this incredible book called Centering that I haven't read, but clearly you're in the depths of a lot, by MC Richards. And if you're new here, what happens is we alternate who chooses the source. Sometimes it's about, it's something we're reading, a poem we found, or a piece of reading passage from a book. Sometimes it's something each of us has written. Sometimes people send us things that we use. So please feel free to look up the sources. They're on our show notes for the podcast and on our website, turningtowards.life. And you can find them, you can copy and paste them, you can use them, you can send them around, do whatever you'd like. And you can also sign up to have this come into your inbox weekly on our website, turningtowards.life, where it just arrives in your inbox, whatever the episode that we've done in a week comes to you. So please feel free to sign up for that if you would like. In that, on that website, you can also support us, which is really lovely when people do that too. But your being here is very supportive to us doing this. And thank you for being here. And thank you, Justin, for always finding challenging and excellent sources for us to find our way into.
Thank you, Lizzie. Yeah, it's great to be able to bring MC Richards and her extraordinary and quite challenging book, but full of absolute gems, Centering. I'll say some more about that in a moment, actually. I thought, Lizzie, it might be worth saying, we haven't said this for a long time, something about the principle by which we're doing this, because there's you and there's me and there's a source, and then there's also circles and circles of people around us. And one of the guiding principles of Third Space, from which this conversation is born, and if you're listening, you can always check out what we do at Third Space. We are thirdspace.org. is that there's always a third. When there are two people, there's always a third something. There's always a something in between that the third points to. And the source starts off by sitting in between us. But then the source and you and I unfold into new forms all the way through our conversation. It's like our job is to allow life to flow through this particular source and through the space between us and the interaction between us. And then knowing that there are circles and circles of people around us. And I wanted to say it that way because it's really different in a way. What we're doing is reading something and then talking about it. But in another way, what we're doing is something distinct from that, which is seeing if we can together allow life to breathe its way into and through whatever it is that we're talking about, and sort of come through the middle in a way. So I'm excited to do that. So this is from MC Richards. She was a potter and an educator. So her book is called Centering because, as I understand it, it's partly about the difficult work of centering clay on a wheel. But it's also about the difficult world of centering ourselves in various ways in our lives and in our relationships. So this is from that book. It goes like this. An act of the self. That's what one must make. An act of the self from me to you, from center to center. We must mean what we say from our innermost heart to the outermost galaxy. Otherwise, we're lost and dizzy in a maze of reflections. We carry light within us, There's no need merely to reflect. Others carry light within them. These lights must wake to each other. My face is real. Yours is. Let us find our way to our initiative.
Thank you, Justin. So this is from Centering by MC Richards. Here we go. An act of the self. That's what one must make. An act of the self from me to you, from centre to centre. We must mean what we say from our innermost heart to the outermost galaxy. Otherwise we're lost and dizzy in a maze of reflections. We carry light within us. There is no need to merely reflect. Others carry light within them. These lights must wake to each other. My face is real. Yours is. Let us find our way to our initiative.
I really wanted to bring this, Lizzie, because it's, oh, you'll know this, but maybe people who are listening, if you're listening some months or years ahead, might not know. This is early February 2025. And there's all kinds of difficulty in the world, all kinds. And I think one of the things that you and I have been talking for a long time about, Lizzie, is less sort of the grand scale of things, you know, the grand scale of politics or international relations or, you know, all the things that we read about in the news, with sort of the news headlines. And we've concentrated our attention very often on something much more intimate, much more direct, where we can each find a path to contribute to one another's lives in the most life-giving way, which is right in our most intimate relationships with our partners or our children or our work colleagues, or you and I coach with our clients, all of those places where we come in close to people. And it seemed to me that MC Richards's work is right into that place. And there's so much to say about this tiny, you know, three sentences of text. But I think the thing that is striking me so much about this is this sense about how easily we can be in a hall of mirrors with one another. That if I'm not real with you and you're not real with me, then immediately we're in a hall of mirrors, because I don't know what I mean and I don't know what you mean. And the conversation or connection between us is happening in some kind of virtual or imaginary plane, not something real. And it's so easy to do that. Oh my goodness, as I read this, I thought, all the conversations, all the times, I think less and less and less in my life do I do this. But of course, I still do this too. You know, there's places where I'm afraid or I feel embarrassed or I don't really know what to say or I want to look good or something. And what I'm saying or doing isn't anything really real. It's kind of like a protection strategy. So I'm doing my protection strategy, and if you're doing yours, we shouldn't be surprised that it's really, really hard to be in relationship with one another. And then what she says is that I think is so necessary is we all carry light within us. There isn't any need merely to reflect. Underneath all of our protectiveness, underneath the way that we deliberately or unwittingly try to confuse or misdirect one another. Like, don't look at me this way, Lizzie. I'll misdirect you over here. Underneath all of that, there is actually something that's real, and there's something that's true. And it's our job to do two things simultaneously, both of which are hard, but in a way not that hard, which is a bit of a paradoxical thing to say, but the first thing is to find what's real in us, the center of us that isn't all of our protective patterns, and see if we can more and more bring that to one another and put it in words and in action. That's the first thing that we have to do. And the second thing we have to do is we have to make other people real to us. Because part of the defense strategy and the protective strategy many of us have is not only to sort of mislead in a way, you know, I'll pretend I'm fine when I'm not. That's my, you know, one of my big perils. Pretend I agree when I don't. Once I'm doing that, I'm also treating you as if you're not real. And once you're not real in me, once I'm treating you as something that's not real, someone with light within you, once I'm not waking up to that, not only am I playing a sort of game of mirrors, but I'm also very, very quickly holding you inside me as if you were part of the game of mirrors rather than someone real. And that's where I think so many of our difficulties as humans come. Because if I don't treat you as Lizzie, mysterious Lizzie with light at the center, who's real, you might just be a bit part in my drama. You might be an obstacle that I have to get round. You might be an annoyance. You might be the source of my shame. You might be all kinds of things, but you're no longer real. And my goodness, we need to become real to one another.
The thing that's most excellent to me right now in listening to you, Justin, and feeling this source is this kind of sense that I'm getting of this word initiative. And that when we do the things that you're saying, I feel like what we're saying, what MC Richards is saying, is that we get to be in genuinely creative relationships. So I was thinking, what is the word initiative? What does that mean? And I was thinking initiate, it means beginningness. It means start something. It means make real something that didn't exist yet, kind of thing. And I think a lot about the nature of relationships and the kind of the possible samenesses that are in them, which in so many ways are beautiful and familiar and real and lovely. And then there's the kind of, I don't know what to call them without feeling a bit mean, but like, you know, like kind of the dead ways where, like you're saying, we're just protecting or we're hedging people off away from us or something. There's ways of being in relationship that don't feel life-giving, that don't feel creative, that don't feel like they have any edge in them. It's all just doing what you should do, keeping up with the Joneses kind of feeling, small talky kind of. And as I say that, I don't want to kind of throw that out because that all has value in lots of ways, like that gets us through the day or helps us get on with our neighbours or something. But there's this invitation here about finding our way to our initiative. Like if we could feel and see and be in relationship from centre to centre, what gets made there? And MC Richards saying its initiative becomes possible. And then it's alive. And then we're on some kind of a precipice of you and me being here together in conversation, relating to one another, has the possibility for new ground to be experienced, to be initiated, to use MC Richards's word. And in that moment, I start thinking, oh, this is excellent. What's going to happen next? Who are we? What is this? What is life? Like all these questions begin arising that don't occur to me in the kind of the dead habitual, this is the thing I do all the time to get through the day kind of thing. So these spaces of finding ways of relating and connecting to one another that have this kind of aliveness in them, like you're saying, that where we make each other real and we're being with one another center to center, where we can discover what that means to be centered in the first place and then be in relationship with each other from that place and be in the kind of unknown with one another and allow what's to unfold in that space of aliveness, I start getting very alive and wondering what on earth is going on and feel like I have way more questions than answers and feel like slightly on the edge of my seat of, and I think that's why this practice, Justin, with you feels like such a kind of church to me, like such a place to go for sanctuary and for aliveness and safety and feeling who we are as human beings, because it feels like we're walking into new places every week with one another and letting each other's words and feelings lead the way for one another into territory that we otherwise we wouldn't be in it. Like if I wasn't talking to you now, I wouldn't be in this territory that we're in, feeling this aliveness, feeling this wondering and this curiosity of what the word initiative means, and thinking, what does that mean that I'm centered and you're centered, and then something gets made from there? And what does it mean to mean something from my innermost heart to the outer galaxies? What actually is that? So I feel really grateful for this space anyway, as you and probably everybody has heard a million times from me saying it here. And this is one of the central reasons that this is so wonderful, is because we're relating in a different kind of way than is born out of my habitual patterns of how I get by and how I try to look good and protect myself and all of the things. And all the spaces that we get to create, Justin, that are aimed towards this, that have this as their central possibility, we would do anything for, you know, it feels like that's what life is for.
Yes, I think it's everything that this conversation in its many hundreds of weeks has been and is, Lizzie, and it's also everything that the coaching we teach at Third Space is about, and all the community spaces that we make and everything is all oriented towards this. It's lovely to hear you say it that way. And I was, one of the things that was happening for me when you were talking, I think M.C. Rich's language is absolutely extraordinary. I find it so exciting to read, we have to make an act of the self. Gosh, that's an invitation. That's arresting. And from me to you, from center to center, and I've got to mean what I say. From, and this is, I think this line really moves me, from my innermost heart to the outermost galaxy. I suppose that means I have to really mean it. And I'm glad you drew our attention to this last line, let us find our way to our initiative, because I think it's a really cryptic line. The first few times I read it, I thought, I have no idea what she's talking about. And you're pointing into it here, that when, well, here's the way I was thinking about it, just in this conversation. So think about what's going on here. There's you and me talking to one another, right? And we have a long friendship and we work together a lot. So there are layers and layers of patterning and expectations we might have that are connected with that. And then we are part of a wider thing called Third Space. And then we're making a podcast that's going out into the world. And we know that people all over the world listen to it and watch it. So as we've been speaking, I've been watching the layers and layers of sort of parallel things that are going on, as well as me wanting to come closer and closer, as always, to center with you and mean everything that I say. Because I'm also aware that I've got an eye on the time, and I'm thinking about, will anybody else make sense of this conversation? What will it mean to everyone? I've got multiple parallel intentions. And they're all fine. I mean, they're all completely appropriate to take care of. And were I to get completely caught up in those intentions and not be attending to whatever is center, the light in me speaking and listening to the light in you, I could very easily, and sometimes I think I probably do, tip into this and then have to notice it and come back, sort of tip into something which is a bit more like Hall of Mirrors. Like, I'm not really talking to you, Lizzie. I'm more trying to look good to all the people who are watching and listening, and I'm trying to make sure it's, you know, coherent and everything. And the thought bubbled up in me whilst you were speaking that our goals and the identities we've taken on, like of being a competent person or an intelligent person or an emotional person or a creative person, like all of those can get in the way of the realness that it takes to find our way to our initiative. And what I understood from what you said was that when we find our way to that, what we're really doing is we're allowing ourselves to tread on new ground together. Like, the who knows what on earth is going to happen here, because the realness that is Justin meets the realness that is Lizzie. And if we allow it, and if we're brave enough, and this is not a conflictual conversation, it might be in conflict or it might be in some kind of mutual exploration or who knows, but if we're brave enough, something new can be born. And lots of the time we keep ourselves away from the possibility that anything really new could be born. And it's really important. It's really important. It's really life-giving. And it is what happens. I mean, one of the reasons I'm talking to you in week 383, and we've done this repeatedly for 7.5 years, because we attend well enough together, and sometimes really well, to being present with one another in the way that you're saying, and then something new and fresh that we've not imagined either of us gets born between us. We've talked about this so many times, Lizzie, you and I think it's been such a running theme, that of course there's value in our human repetition, our doing things the same way again and again, and our familiarity with one another. But as you said a little while earlier in this conversation, it's also a way that our lives can die in a way in the midst of life. Our lives with our friends and our partners and our children and our parents and our colleagues and our communities can die, because what we're doing is rehearsing the hall of mirrors and getting ourselves lost in dizzy and a maze of reflections. And we're not finding a way first to be in contact with what's really here, and then find out that there's something really here in the other person. And it might be that a lot of the culture that many of us live in doesn't give us much of an opportunity, doesn't invite this initiative, real initiative. Very often, we think we're making initiative, but actually, what we're not doing is the real encounter with one another. And the good news about it, I suppose, is that it's never far away. If we'll let ourselves, when I'm with you, there's always a real Lizzie and a real Justin, this center that is light within us. And there's no need merely to reflect. And in a way, what we have to do is to see if we can spot our doing all of our moves that we do, and see if we can set them aside and really meet one another, because all life really is in meeting. So I find that very hopeful, not easy, but hopeful, that this might be something that we can all, maybe we stumble into it by accident sometimes, or maybe we sort of have a moment where we go, oh, that would be a way. When I next see a loved one, to go, I wonder who you are today. I wonder what the realness of you is today.
As you were talking, Justin, I was thinking about all the ways that we could, you know, you were talking about protection and managing the way that people see you, and, you know, all these things we all get up to. I was thinking what a different life it is to stop meddling with other people's, and you can't even meddle with it anyway, but thinking that we can meddle with and trying to meddle with other people's perceptions in some way. Like shifting from that habitualness to a kind of habitualness of, what is it for me to actually receive you? Like, the world is such a different place. So this center-to-center thing, I'm really curious about the difference in a life lived where I'm doing my best to have you see me in a certain way and be in a kind of performance, if you like. I'm just drawn to this word act and like what it actually means. So we use the word act in such a tricky way where we say, oh, well, you're acting, therefore it's not real or something. But also enacting something, enacting the self, making an act of the self. It's like we are invited here to actually have the self be where we come from and create from the self. That's how I'm receiving this line. And what a way to live, to feel and to know that I have a light. I am a light. I am a center. I have a center. And that I can enact life from that place with faith that it's a creative, generative, initiatory place. And in that place, what I feel is that I can receive you. I can see you. I can be in receipt of whatever you're trying to give or be. And that's a very different fuel for my light and my center. Because without that, I'm not sure I have much fuel. If all I'm doing is really projecting, you know, I mean, this hall of mirrors, where is my fuel coming from? Where is my, how am I being fed? So I'm seeing that this center to centerness and making an act of the self and being in relationship in that way feels to me like fuel. I know that when we do this with one another, my whole inner self becomes full of life. I can already feel my relationships changing because I sit in a house where there's two children making a kerfuffle downstairs and my husband's trying to wrangle them. And I can feel my affection for them changing. I can feel my kind of patience becoming greater. I can feel my love for them and all of the things shifting. And that's just in my little world. But then I start, you know, my, like you're saying, the parallel intentions start coming online in it. And I'm feeling way more curious about the world and the people I'm going to encounter today and what they might be like. And so as I fill up, as I become more connected with you from a centered place, my life becomes nourished. I feel nourished. I feel like I'm more able, more generative, more filled, so that I can pour some things out and it doesn't deplete me. So I'm being kind of thrown into this excellent kind of feeling of nourishment and being full, and that not coming from anywhere particular other than being in this realness that you're talking about, which of course isn't, doesn't cost anything. You know, it's like, it's just here. It's possible because you have two eyes and ears and a heart and a mouth, and we can perceive one another and receive one another. And so much is possible in that, that is an invitation to an affordance for aliveness between us. And then the ripple effect of that feels massive.
I remember sitting once in a, we were in a theatre somewhere when I think it was when my kids were quite small, because it was a, just remembering that. And I remember sitting in the theatre feeling generally quite afraid, Lizzie, in my life. And I'm thinking about fear here and the difference between fear and curiosity. And I was feeling generally quite afraid of lots of things. And I was feeling quite afraid of being there and this big crowd of people. And I had one of those moments where I don't think I did very much to have this happen that I could remember, but something flipped inside me. And this was brought on by what you said about ears and eyes and mouth and heart, actually. I could feel my own heart beating, and I could feel the way that my heart and the incredibly intricate network of blood vessels in me with blood and life pumping around. I could feel, started to be able to feel that in me, and then I could feel it in all the other people. And I could see, it was almost as if I could see everyone's hearts and circulatory systems in them, and I could feel how they and I were all made of the same thing. And suddenly something very, very different happened at that point. That's the thing I just wanted to return to, was even when we've got other plans and other designs, you know, we're doing something for another purpose and trying to feed the kids dinner or trying to complete a conversation with you or, you know, whatever it is. Coming back to a kind of remembering of who and what we are. And then the other thought I had was that I'm going to take with me from this conversation is, any time, certainly today, I'll see how long I can remember this. Anytime I think somebody else is boring, I'm going to look at them. I'm going to remember to look at them in the way that you've just described, because nobody's ever boring, really. The boredom with other people is just the patterning I feel from my own familiar patterns of trying to have the world go my way, that underneath we carry light within us, and there's no need merely to reflect and others carry light with them. Well, there's so much more to say, but we've come towards the end of our time together. So I want to say thank you to you, Lizzie, as always, for entering into these conversations in the way that you do. It's a great joy and a great privilege to keep on speaking with you and listening with you that this way. And thank you, everyone, for being with us as you do, for listening and or watching. And you're very, very welcome to share this with other people if you think it would be of benefit to them. And we're going to end here. And all being well, we'll be back next week. Bye-bye, everyone.